You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back. It's the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Hey, coming up this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Stevens Point, the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, presenting Romeo and Juliet. It'll be performed at the Schmeekly Amphitheater in Stevens Point, 6 p.m. showtimes on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then 2 p.m. on Sunday. Another great opportunity to see Shakespeare. And of course, we've heard about Shakespeare from Ian as he is doing his own version as well in the next number of weeks. But here to talk about it, a couple of members of the company from the CWACT, Nathan Grunman, who is playing Mercutio, and Terry Alioto, stage manager. And Nathan and Terry, thank you for making the trek up and joining us here this morning.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Again, Shakespeare. There's always a magic in Shakespeare, and especially I think Romeo and Juliet is probably as famous as any of the productions that the Bard put out. What drew you, number one, to Shakespeare, maybe, and also to be part of Romeo and Juliet? I guess we'll start with Nathan.
Honestly, the reason why I was put on here was because the director kind of asked me, hey, could you audition for one of my shows? And when I found out it was Romeo and Juliet, I was like, okay, yeah, let's give it a shot. I know it's been a bit of a famous play for the longest time. Being put in the role of Mercutio has been definitely an experience, to say the least.
And Terry, what about you? What got you involved in this production?
Well, we just moved up here from Milwaukee in October, so I was just excited to get back into any community theater up here. And Romeo and Juliet is just fun. And I've done it once before, but it changes with every director because you can change it.
Tell us about your role. Tell us about what the most important aspect is for what you do.
Keeping people on time.
That is true.
When they yell a line, though, you're the one that has to get it out there too, right?
Not anymore
is right. But, I mean, that's one of the aspects and a part of a company. Mm-hmm. And I imagine being right in the right arm of the director, there's an aspect to that that's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it's fun. It's fun to watch. To sit back and watch the whole process from audition to opening night is my favorite. Just watching the actors grow and everything come together.
And Nathan, your role, what is the biggest challenge of what you've been, the whole road from the very beginning up to, you know, this week and actually having the production?
Two words, Queen Mab. I have this long monologue where I talk about this lady and how beautiful she is and how just brutal that she can be. Just being able to kind of just describe this figment of these characters' imagination, but also kind of pulling the audience in to kind of to have that visualization thing. I think how we kind of described it is that it kind of starts off a bit like you're watching a very nice, calm, friendly Disney film, and then it goes into kind of like the Brothers Grimsby kind of dark deal to it, and then it ends with a little bit of sexual innuendo. So.
And Terry, what about you? As you know, from your point of view, what do you think is the biggest challenge that the performers have in this show that you've seen?
The fight scenes, they look scary real.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work goes into those. The choreography, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's, I mean, they don't just let them loose with the knives. Everything's scripted and on point and rehearsed. But when you look at it, when it's all done, it's like, wow. Just amazing.
Nathan, Shakespeare. For people that are maybe not as intimately familiar with it, because you have to be as being part of a production like this, what do people that may come to the show, or maybe even people that are just, you know, saying, oh, Shakespeare, it's over my head, what should they be thinking about when they maybe see a Shakespeare production for the first time?
Honestly, that there is a lot of exposition when it comes to especially the speech. You do hear a lot of people just talking in very long, kind of like, I wouldn't say droning, but very long explanations about certain aspects of what they're saying. But also, I think that one of the things that really makes it really cool about this particular show and really captivating what Shakespeare is that it is about the emotion and the actions that kind of come out of it, because very fortunate to have a cast that has such amazing emotions and actions that really kind of go into making this something that's all its own.
Ian, you said to me that you actually know Nathan very well.
I do. Nathan's my best friend. Nathan and I actually met through theater.
When was that? How long ago was that?
I think the first show we ever did together was Joseph, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do believe that you are correct. That was Central Wisconsin's Children's Theater. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you are in the midst of a Shakespeare production as well. Do you have any questions that could enlighten maybe our listeners that you'd like to give Nathan and Terry?
One of the challenges is that I encountered while rehearsing Shakespeare was just memorizing all the lines and the language and the iambic parameter. It's like I said this before, I'm going to say it again. People in Shakespeare's time did not talk like this. So has that been a challenge for you, Nathan, to focus on the language and try to? I know you mentioned this huge monologue, and I completely understand the frustration of that, but. Has there been any other challenges besides all the memorization of this show?
So has it been a challenge? 100%. It's been very, very hard. Usually I do thrive on trying being like the first person that has all of their lines memorized. Honestly, I think I was probably in the middle when it came to memorizing lines. So it is a bit of a challenge, but honestly, at the end of it, when you finally get that feel of the rhythm of how everything's supposed to go down, the key points that you want to hit across, it turns into a lot of fun, because now it's like, okay, now that I know the lines, what can I do to really just hit the nail on the head and really just pull people in to really help people get more involved and more invested in the show? And that's been always the best part. And one of the things that the director really loves is that I do improv. So I kind of improvise a lot of my new actions and such, just to kind of pull people in and just be like, oh, I never really thought of that. Let's go with that way, see how that works out.
And we will have more with Nathan and Terry, members of the company of the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, and their performance of Romeo and Juliet, Thursday through Sunday in Stevens Point. Information update coming up, and then more with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Life is so strange. When you don't know, how can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change, and then you won't know.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and we are continuing our discussion. We always talk about news and politics, but it's also one of the things that we enjoy doing is talking about some area theatrical productions, and maybe summer, but still plenty of opportunities to get out there and enjoy the theater. And we're talking about the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater in Stevens Point. And they have a production coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 6, Sunday at 2, Romeo and Juliet. And we're talking to Nathan Grunman, who plays Mercutio, and the stage manager of the production, Terry Aliotto. And Terry, from the production aspect, working with the director, being the stage manager, how has the process been? I imagine you've been part of other productions. Has this been one that's been smooth? Has this one been more difficult? Has this been a production that where there have been moments like, is it going to come together? Or has it been one that's been pretty comfortable?
Actually, it's from my perspective, it's been pretty smooth. It's amazing how just everything has just come together quicker than I would have thought that I'm used to. We were in a really good place like 2 weeks ago, so it was very comfortable.
How old are the lead actors, the Romeo and Juliet actors? Because sometimes the ages, I mean, you don't have to be specific, but are they played, are they younger, older? I mean, in terms
of... they're younger. They're, I don't even know, like late 20s?
I would definitely say so. I don't ever ask age a lot of the time.
No, yeah, but mid-late, that's actually old for Romeo and Juliet,
isn't it? Oh,
well,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the characters are not that old.
No, they're 13, 14
right.
in the script.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean, they're older than the as written. How does that change the show? Because I remember back seeing the movie from the 60s, you know, the very young actors who were involved in it. I imagine that, you know, casting is such an important aspect of productions like this.
I don't think it affects it.
Honestly, when it comes to Rachel and Miles, who play Romeo and Juliet, the fact that they are also an item in real life really does bring in that romantic chemistry onto there. And honestly, I will say this, that every time I watch their final scene together, I get choked up. Mm. They do such a fantastic job. Like I said, it's all about bringing the emotions, bringing the actions from paper to real life. And they just do a fantastic job of that.
Schmeichle Amphitheater. So that's an outdoor venue, correct?
Yes, it is.
What is the difference when you do a show that is outdoors as opposed to in a indoor theater?
Weather.
I agree.
Weather, bugs, deer.
But does it feel different when it is outdoors, a show? Or does it really matter to you, maybe as an actor or somebody as a part of the production as well?
It does feel a lot more different. Obviously, when you're indoors, I feel like there's a bit more of spotlight and a little bit more stress because it does seem like everything's focused on you. But I feel like when you're in the outdoor environment, it definitely feels like you can be a lot more open. You can be a lot more experimental with some of the things. But like Terry said, it is boiling down to how the weather really goes about. And this is only the second time I've done an outdoor deal. Comparing it to the first one that I did, this amphitheater is absolutely fantastic. And a lot of the stuff is already preset, so it just makes it that much more easier for us to adjust to the environment.
Does look like the weather is going to cooperate, at least at this point, knock on wood. It looks like at this point the weather forecast is looking wonderful. Let's talk for the folks out there who are looking for a wonderful experience coming up this weekend to be in Stevens Point and see Romeo and Juliet. Again, what are the details in terms of where they can get tickets? Do you get tickets at the door? Any information that people should know about if they're thinking about going to see the show?
You can get them online. Guess I'm assuming you can get them at the door.
I believe that you can. Best way to get tickets online is going to be cwatc.tickbooth, tick spelled TICbooth.com. They're available online through there. And yeah, I do believe they're going to have the tickets at the door as well.
And again, the shows will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, for folks that, you know, in addition to going to see the show, how many shows a year do you normally have? And is it easy for people to get involved if they have that itch to be involved in the theater? It sounds like, Terry, you've just moved to the area and were able to get involved. Has it been a welcoming experience
yes,
for you?
Yes, it has. It has been very welcoming for the new kid on the block.
And
very nice. Easy to get involved. You just email the company and say, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, Nathan, anything to add in terms of, you know, being part of CWACT?
Honestly, it has been one of the best experiences I had as an actor, being able to work with such an amazing cast. It's one of those few times where you work with a cast and you have, like, chemistry with every single person on there. Honestly, one of the other characters, so Benvolio, she and I just play off each other so well. And it's literally like I have never felt so comfortable with somebody just having kind of like a friend on stage as well as off stage, as well as I have with that. And just everybody in particular, there's not a single person where I'm just like, I don't really feel anything with them. It's like, no, you just instantly have that click connection.
One of the wonderful aspects about these kind of productions, to have that connection and bring it to the folks that come and see it this weekend.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, Nathan and Terry, again, break a leg this weekend. Have a wonderful time. And again, folks, make the trek down to Stevens Point. Again, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 6 p.m. And then Sunday again at 2 p.m. at the Schmeichle Amphitheater, 2419 North Point in Stevens Point. Again, you can check out the website, cwact.org. Get more information on the show and also the group itself.
and I'm sure links to get tickets online as well. So again, both of you, thank you. Thanks for coming on by.
Thank you for having us.
So try to make the trek to Stevens Point for some outdoor theater, which should be a beautiful end of the work weekend with Romeo and Juliet. We are going to take a time out, and then after the information update at the top of the hour, I will be joining Pat Kreitlow along with Brittany Merlot in a look at the weather. That's all coming up here on 98.9 WXCO. Good morning. The time is 8:23. Lots of sunshine here in downtown Wausau from our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, 72 degrees. And again, a beautiful start here on this Tuesday. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. And that's our Chris Conley theme. And I got to say congratulations to our compatriot across the way down the street here in downtown Wausau, Chris Conley.
What's the occasion?
Well, it's twofold. And people who are tuned in the last segment, listening to our conversation with Pat Kreitlow as I join him in the 8:06 segment on Tuesday and Thursday mornings around the state of Wisconsin, mentioned the fact that word came down yesterday that the WSAU morning show is changing. And of course, we keep an eye on what happens down the street because they keep an eye on what we're doing here down the street as well. But that's it was right. A little surprising to see that longtime morning show host Meg Ellefson had decided to step away, explore new opportunities after a long and, if you have to say, successful run. I mean, it may not be what people want to hear. It may not be what's good, I think, for our community. It may not be always what I think is the most truthful. But bottom line is, if you're in the radio business and you have listenership and you bring in the folks, then it's got to be considered successful. And and she was well rated during the course of her time. So congratulations on that. And best of luck to Meg and whatever she decides to do. But the thing that kind of was, I was kind of curious about when I heard this, is what direction WSAU would go in. Because WSAU has been a talk leader in this community for a very long time. But I would say in the last, you know, especially last decade, it went from what you consider a conservative talk radio station into one that became really more aligned with the MAGA wing of the Republican Party. I would say more on the far right of American politics. And I was wondering, maybe would this be an opportunity? I mean, you think back to way back. You know, Bob Look, who's been on this program so many times, he used to be the morning show host on WSAU. Howard Gernetzky used to be the morning show host on WSAU. I mean, these were not right-wing political figures by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But then they started going down the road further and further to the right, and ultimately they decided to go with, they had the current state representative, Pat Snyder. He was their morning show host for many years, so they went more political when Pat Snyder became the host there. And then after Pat left to run for office, they've gone even further down that rabbit hole with Meg Ellefson. So my thought was, where are they going to go from here? What, maybe, is there going to be any sort of correction? Maybe go more to a mainstream, a Republican conservative voice in the mornings? Maybe bring on, again, I mentioned in the last segment that in the last election cycle, we had a candidate for state assembly that was running for the Republican nomination who could not get on WSAU. So he heard from another guest of ours that we do treat people fairly here, that we would have a discussion. He came on and we had multiple discussions, and but because WSAU decided his opponent in the Republican primary was the candidate they were going to support, so they were not even allowing this candidate to come on their airwaves and give his platform. So I was thinking, well, is there going to be an adjustment? Well, this morning we found out who the new morning show host at WSAU is going to be.
Okay, and who is it?
Well, if you heard our music run-in, you should know. Chris Conley.
Oh, boy.
Chris has been the number two guy with Meg doing, you know, some talk and news and all that stuff.
Yep.
And Chris announced today that he will be the new host of the WSAU Morning Show. And for folks who are wondering why Chris is the new host of the WSAU Morning Show, he put out a blog this morning. He explains why he's the best man for the job. So, congratulations, Chris Conley. Congratulations on moving on up again. And
hopefully my
first thought, real quick, I would let you talk here because I've been talking. But my first thought is it means, in all likelihood, we're not going to see much of a change because he's been basically the programmer at WSAU for the last two decades. But so anybody who thought maybe you would get more of a mainstream conservative point of view, I think will be disappointed.
Yeah. It will definitely not change too much when it comes to the formatting of the show. But again, congratulations, and I'm sure you get a lot of listeners. I'm sure you keep the show going. And
one thing I want to say as well is that I have no issue with another radio station having a conservative point of view. Obviously, we have more of a progressive point of view on this program. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing to be able to have different points of view on the airwaves. But the thing that I would point out, I do think that, and I have a friend for many years who said so much is make-believe, and I always said no, it's not make-believe, and I found a lot more to say that is make-believe these days.
I
want real conversation, I want real issues, and I want real battles of ideas. And I hope Mr. Conley, as he moves into the number one chair over at WSAU, also believes in that as well.
Me too.
Sunny skies, 72 degrees is the temperature here in downtown Wausau. Coming up, an information update, and then more with Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow continues on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report as part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. And Ian, I saw an interesting letter to the editor yesterday in the Wausau Pilot. Okay. And it got some attention, I saw, online as well. And it basically was a gentleman who was raised in a small town in New Hampshire who now lives in, apparently, in Rothschild. At least that's where he says, you know, in terms of his letter, he says, Ken Barker of Rothschild.
All right.
And he basically says that he is A-OK with a funding cut for the public schools because he was in a school, a one-room school, with one teacher, 20 kids, and that he turned out okay, and that they had a genius teacher, and everything was great, and it didn't cost all that much money.
Okay.
There's two things that can be true. I think that having small class sizes is a great thing. I think that having genius teachers is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. But to count on the idea that you don't have to spend any money in order to have great teachers or great facilities or great books, great information, mm-hmm. everything that's needed for a great education is very, very short-sighted.
It is.
And again, something that I've talked about is when you have a budget, and whether it's a local budget, whether it's a state budget, whether it's a federal budget, whether it's a family budget, your priorities are set. And if you decide that funding our schools is not a good way to spend part of your budget, that says a lot about you. I would like to see, and I'm not saying spend extravagantly on things that are not needed, but at the same time, the idea that, you know, we're going to get a wonderful result by spending no money is a very, very dangerous thing, in my opinion. And and I think that the public schools here in the state of Wisconsin are not asking for extravagance. They're asking for the tools needed to give our youngsters in our communities the best education they possibly can.
Yeah, just a basic money for basic tools and resources. That's what we're asking for. We're not asking for like a fancy electronic classroom with all these bells and whistles. But just have the essentials for the classrooms, like have books, have the arts, have pencils, have notebooks, have just, you know, these basic resources that kids need to grow and learn.
And frankly,
that's all we're asking for.
This gentleman who talks about, you know, the one-room schoolhouse, hey, we could build a lot of one-room schoolhouses. You would have to build a lot of one-room schoolhouses because in certain areas, there's a lot of kids.
a lot of kids, indeed.
So, again, the idea, well, we didn't spend a lot of money back in my small New Hampshire community where there's only 20 kids in the entire school and one teacher. Well, why can't we all do this? I turned out okay. It's ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Times have changed. So there's a lot more kids now and...
Again, there are probably small communities that can have very small schools, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you still need funding for books and for all the other tools. And also, this genius teacher deserves to be paid exceptionally well.
Exactly.
I mean, is he saying that this genius teacher should just be doing it for all the goodness of her heart? A lot of teachers do a lot of things out of the goodness of their heart, but that's not the way it should be. They should be rewarded for the importance of their work as well. So, again, check out WASAPilotandReview.com and read the note to the editor. Make up your own mind. Maybe this gentleman makes some points that you agree with and that cutting funding to public schools is not such a bad thing, at least according to this gentleman. All right, well, let's wrap things up. It's time again for our number for the day quiz. As we each day wrap it up by giving Ian three choices for our number for the day. Two are incorrect, one is correct. So 33% is basically the goal every week. If he's above 33%, it's a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it's a failing grade. But we want him to do better than that. We try to get a winning week, which is more right than wrong, which is 3 out of 5. If he gets 4 out of 5, that's an A grade for the week. And then he gets that gold star for a perfect week, 5 out of 5. And how many times have you been perfect?
Once. So, again, 5 out of 5.
So you got to try to get
that was a while ago.
Yeah, well, not too far. But one time he's been perfect, and we're not going to be perfect this week, but we're still going to try to get an A grade and get 4 out of 5. All right, so today our topic for the number for the day quiz is billionaires.
Billionaires. Okay.
There are more billionaires than ever in the year 2025.
I believe it.
And the number for the day is how many billionaires are there in the world?
Okay, what are my choices?
Your choices are 2,028 billionaires.
Okay.
3,028 billionaires, 4,028 billionaires.
You know what? I'm going to say 4,028 billionaires. As I'm just rolling my gun in this one, I'll go with the highest number today.
Doggone it, Ian. This week, you're not going with the middle number. You usually go with the middle number.
I know.
3,028 billionaires. Don't overthink. But we'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll get back.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow here on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.